Have you ever felt like the life was being sucked out of you? Well, I can tell you, I have. So today we are recalling Snakes, which was an episode that I recorded on April 13th, 2020. It was the second podcast episode in the Confidence Restored podcast, previously known as the CC America podcast, which stands for Confidence Centers of America. And the purpose of this particular message was to highlight the fact that snakes, in a figurative sense, from a spiritual standpoint, in a literal sense, can squeeze or poison the life out of you. And what the word says about snakes and that crafty serpent, the devil. So check out Snakes and definitely leave me a comment to let me know what you think. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Confidence Restored podcast presented by CC America, also known as Confidence Centers of America, and hosted by Tamaria Jordan. This is a show designed to help you build your confidence, increase your faith, and get mentally fit to overcome any trials and tribulations you may encounter. Through personal testimonies of faith, inspiration, and transformation, Tamaria and guests seek to inspire and uplift you. This message is delivered by us, CCing you on lessons learned in hopes of encouraging you regardless of where you are in life. Enjoy the show. Thank you all for joining on this Resurrection Sunday. The title of today's message is Snakes. And with regard to this, I wanted to just talk about snakes from a figurative sense, and also how in life, when we think about the resurrection of Jesus and we think about where we are now, how snakes can literally squeeze or poison your life and what the word says about them. So if you all were able to join me for my last session, the live, I was sharing with everyone how I recently went through a month-long miscarriage. I found out that I was miscarrying back in February 10th, and I did not find out that the miscarriage was over until March 27th. So that was a long, rough period, but God saw me through. I'm just grateful, you know, to still be here. And on this Resurrection Sunday, before I get started and jump in, what I did want to do is just start off with prayer. So I will start there. Lord God, we come to you now, thanking you for this day, thanking you for the opportunity to be in your presence, for waking us up this morning. I thank you for each and every person, Lord God, listening, and those who are not listening but may listen later on, Lord God. I just thank you for who you are. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your power. I pray that you would cover everyone right now, Lord God, in the midst of COVID-19, and that you would allow us to hear your voice more clearly during this time, more than ever, as we are seeing messages filled with fear, but also along those same things, we're also seeing things and messages with regard to hope, which is what you have allowed us to have through the love and the blood of your son, Jesus, who laid his life down for each and every one of us. And on this Resurrection Sunday, we just want to thank you, Lord God, for everything that you're doing, everything you will continue to do. And we give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So with regard to the topic, I'll just get started in Genesis. So as we all know, in the Bible, it tells us that the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. So when we think about serpents in a figurative sense, also literally what they do, the fact that the Bible tells us that the snake was more crafty than any of the other wild animals, when you think about your life and you think about the serpents and how they do squeeze the life out of their prey. Essentially, some of them constrict, some of them have venom. But when we think about our lives, it's the same thing. When we think about the enemy and who he is. So during the last session, the last live, we were reading Psalm 91, because again, for anyone who just joined, I was sharing about my miscarriage that recently ended on March 27th. It started on February 10th. So it was a pretty long time. And during that time, I was really struggling because I had a hard time understanding, you know, why I was going through it, but then also when it would end. But it also prepared me for where we are now when we think about COVID-19, because there's so much uncertainty. So the only thing that we can say is that we know that God is real and that he's looking out for each and every one of us. There was nothing that I could personally do to either prevent the miscarriage or speed the process along. during that process, a pastor called me, the pastor actually who married Rodney and I, and she said to me that there are spirits, tormenting spirits. So when we think about the state of where we are now, I was like, oh my gosh, that's really powerful, but I didn't quite understand it. I said, tormenting spirits, what are tormenting spirits? And so I went to church that day, and the pastor referred to Acts 16. And Acts 16 is regarding a particular spirit. And the reason I wanted to talk about this today is when we think about, again, where we are, many of us are being tormented physically, mentally, by this particular spirit or spirits that are similar. So I will go to Acts 16. So just for reference, I will be reading from Acts 16, verses 16 through 24. And it says, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. So the reason that I wanted to focus on this particular scripture is in this segment of Acts, it is specifically talking to a woman who was bound by a spirit. That spirit is a spirit of divination, also known as the Python spirit. And I was like, that's interesting. I had never heard of it before. So when the pastor told me that I was being attacked by tormented spirits, spirits that cause worry, fear, depression, anxiety, I wanted to research it a little bit more, and it said Python. And so again, when we go back to Genesis, the Bible tells us that the serpent was more crafty than any of the other wild animals. And it also says in Genesis 3 that when Eve essentially said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And that's where we are today. And so on this Resurrection Sunday, we have a lot to be thankful for because Jesus went to the cross for us to save us from that death. But with regard to that, when we go through life, we are typically attacked. And I personally have been going through this attack myself, which is why I wanted to share my personal story. And it wasn't until my recent miscarriage that I realized that I was under attack spiritually. And so when we think about being under attack, there's a lot of us who are under attack, but we look good on the outside. I mean, I actually visited a church in Manassas, and Pastor James Sutton was referring to the fact that in Acts 16, this woman on the outside looked okay. And as I was going through my miscarriage, and I think about my life, heck, for the last 10 years, a lot of people looked at me and probably thought I was okay, but didn't know the amount of turmoil that I may have been encountering internally. So I wanted to share and be transparent with my own story, but then also hopefully be able to help someone out tonight with regard to sharing my truth. So in Acts 16, it talks about divination, which is the practice of attempting to foretell future events or discover hidden knowledge by occult or supernatural means. It could also be defined as the practice of determining the hidden significance or cause of events, sometimes foretelling the future by various natural, psychological, and other techniques. So the difference between this, the woman wasn't lying when she said who they were. She knew who they were. She said, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. What she was saying was true, but the way in which she was getting the information was not of God. And so with regard to that, that is why Paul and Silas commanded the evil spirit that was in her to come out. And again, when we think back to Genesis and the serpent is the reason that we're here today, the reason that we have a Resurrection Sunday, because once Adam and Eve knew good and evil, now we have all been condemned to a physical death or natural death until, but we have been saved by grace so that now we may have life and we may live eternally because of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. And as we all know today, is symbolizing when he rose, as he rose on the third day, and he is the reason that we are able to live. So we are grateful for that, and recognizing that the enemy knows the truth. So he tells us part of the truth, but not the whole truth. So when I was going through my miscarriage, I was filled with a lot of fear. I was scared about dying. And a lot of my friends know that I have struggled with worry, anxiety, sometimes depression and fear for years, off and on. But it really wasn't until this recent season that God showed me what it was. And he did that through allowing people to come and talk to me and share the fact that I was being tormented by a spirit. And then once I went to church and the pastor mentioned Acts 16, I left church and I was sitting in my car. I was actually about to meet up with one of my really great girlfriends. And I was sitting in the car and I was like, a tormenting spirit? What are tormenting spirits? I looked it up. It was the spirit of divination, also known as the Python spirit. So when you think about Python, there are some studies from theologians and other ministries that have actually studied this spirit. And one of them is Phyllis Ford Ministries. There's also, I may mess up the name, the Jensen Ministries. But I watched a video and I was like, oh my gosh, this is literally what I've been going through. So according to the Phyllis Ford Ministries, when Python is operating, you can look for a heaviness on your life, sorrow, depression, and oppression. There's manipulation involved and people are not completely open to correction. So essentially that spirit is separating us from what we know to be true, separating us from the word, separating us from our prayer life, separating us from each other, from fellowship. And I tend to go inward, especially when I'm going through. So when I was going through my miscarriage, I was nervous to tell anyone. I didn't even tell my mom until like 3 days before my surgery. And of course we thought my surgery was going to be the end of the process, but it wasn't. That was just the beginning. So it was interesting, but I'm grateful now in hindsight for that experience because, you know, through life, we all go through so many things. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my friends. And each one of you have gone through things in your life that you may not understand it at the time. You may not understand why you're going through it. You may not understand God's purpose for it. But the difference for a believer is that everything will work together for your good. And we know it in the word, and we've seen it to be true through different experiences in our life. So continuing along with regard to the Python spirit, it talks about the spirit trying to control every situation. I'm the type of person, I try to control everything. I think I can control it. Well, you know when I realized I couldn't control it? When I started a miscarriage on February 10th that did not end until March 27th after a DNC and 13 miscarriage pills. That's when I knew that I had no control. And there's other situations in my life where I knew I didn't have control, but somehow I still tried to pick it back up. Like, okay, I can control this. But COVID-19 is a prime example of a situation where we have literally no control. We don't know, you know, what will happen day to day. All we can do is pray and have faith. So I wanted to share this message now because I feel like the timing is it's good timing because we live in a world where we think we can control things, but we really can't. And so when we think about the Python spirit, it talks about customs and traditions may be strong and have to be torn down. Visions and creativity will be choked. Python will cause people to become fearful, weak, and weary. People will start questioning their own vision, position, and calling. He tries to squeeze the life out of you. So when we think about Satan, he knows the truth. He tells us part of the truth, and he tries to reveal parts of it to draw us in to where we kind of believe what we're hearing, but it's not of God. It's him trying to control us. It's him trying to manipulate us. So I've literally had to stop watching the news because I know that I tend to worry. So the more I look at the news, the more I worry and the more I get fearful. And so literally there have been days in here where I've just like cried. I've cried out to God, and I'm praying for each and every person. I'm praying for my family, my friends, people I've met along the way, people that I don't even know. And it's just, it's so much that's going on right now. And that spirit is so heavy. And so, but we have each one of us that are on here right now, and even the people, you know, that are just surfing the web on Instagram, on Facebook, we all have a lot to be thankful for because we are alive. So the same way that we woke up today, we have something to be joyful and thankful for. But on the flip side, what Satan wants us to think is that we have no hope, that we should just give up, that we should be weary, that we should not believe. But on this Resurrection Sunday, we know why we believe. And what he does is he tries to trick us into thinking we can control things. He tries to trick us into believing that we will not live. But we know what the word says. There's been times where I've literally struggled with wondering if I was going to live or die. And I know it's nothing but the enemy that's trying to trick me. And on the last podcast, I shared with everyone that one of my fears is that I will die and not fulfill my purpose. And I always get emotional when I think about that, because I think about the fact that how many of us are afraid that we won't be able to fulfill our purpose. So, I mean, I understand, and I'm so glad I'm seeing the messages coming in on Instagram and on Facebook. I am just grateful that we are able to be here today and recognize the tricks of the enemy. Francine, I understand. You said that's you now. I bet you it is because the enemy is trying to put little seeds and plant things to make us worry. And to Sarita's point, She says that all the time. We have so much to be thankful for. And it's true. Every day that we wake up, we have a lot to be thankful for. But again, going back to Genesis, the serpent is crafty. So he tells us, like even today, I honestly was really nervous about doing this show because I thought to myself, like, who are you? Technically, that question is not a bad question. Who are you? He can ask me that question, but it's how I respond to that question. Do I worry? And to Floria's point, that like worrying about your purpose, Satan will ask you, like, who are you? Like, who do you think you are? Who you are is a child of the Most High. What he wants you to believe is that you don't have purpose, or that your purpose will not be fulfilled on this earth. But again, everything works together for those who are righteous and called according to his purpose. And I may have mixed that up a little bit. I didn't state it verbatim, but you get the point. Essentially, Satan wants to choke that out of us because he doesn't want us to believe. And for anyone that just joined, I share with everyone Acts 16, where it talks about a woman who was possessed by a spirit of divination, which is also known as the Python spirit. So that's kind of where we are now. And in Psalm 91, that's one of the psalms that I read the last time that we were on. And that psalm is very near and dear to me. So I see we have some of our Pocahontas family on, and Pocahontas is an island in Petersburg, Virginia. It is known as the oldest Black community in the United States. And in 1993, August 6th, which happens to be my late great grandmother's birthday, we had a tornado that completely, demolished our neighborhood. And during that time, the church was gone, but the Bible was still there. The Bible was on the podium. And it's said to be that Psalm 91 was what was on the podium. And that psalm just talks about specifically protection. So right now with COVID-19, I do encourage each and every one of you to read Psalm 91. I've been reciting it every day because that spirit of heaviness, weariness, fearfulness, all of those things I have been dealing with. And I've been reading Psalms as well as stating daily affirmations. And Sarita recommended reading The Bait of Satan by John Bevere. Great recommendation, Sarita. I actually finished that book. I want to say it was early February or the end of January. And it was a book that was recommended many, many years ago at Calvary Revival Church. And I purchased it, but I never read it. But the timing that I read it was so on point. So with regard to that book, one of the things, how God hears us, we have to get rid of unforgiveness. And The Bait of Satan talks about all the tricks that he does to keep us from being close to God, being close to one another. It's all the things that he does to try to keep us separate. because that's what he wants to do. He wants to keep us separate. When you think about Adam and Eve, he wanted to keep us separate. And in Psalm 91, it says, you will tread on the lion and in some verses, the adder or cobra, you will trample the great lion and the serpent. So the word adder is derived from an old English term, and it means serpent, but it can mean several types of snakes, including a species known as the adder. And that also includes things like cobras and mambas, which are very venomous. So when you think about the enemy, that venom, so the things that we hear, the things that we see, that venom sneaks in and literally it poisons us. It poisons our mind. It poisons our spirit. And I'm speaking from my own personal experience. I feel like that's what has been happening in my life from time to time when I go through worry, fear, depression, anxiety, because I've been through it all for different reasons. And I realized that was the spirit. The spirit was trying to keep me from fulfilling my purpose, or trying to keep me from developing that stronger relationship with Jesus and reaching out to people and my friends and my family and talking to people and being honest about where I am and just saying, you know what, I need help. Like, I'm not okay. And actually this, with the recent miscarriage, that was the first time that I actually, like, my friends reached out to me. And that's how people started to find out, if they happened to reach out to me and say, how are you doing? I said, you know what? I'm not okay. And that was the first time I actually admitted to myself and others that I was not okay. Because most of the time, what you see is, hello, how are you? I'm fine. No, I'm not. I'm not fine. I'm really struggling right now. And in the midst of my miscarriage, even at work, they had no idea. I was still going to work. I was still facilitating trainings. And no one knew, because I was, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm okay. I wasn't. So when we think about snakes, so I talked about the venomous snakes, but then there's also constrictors. So you think about a python, non-venomous snakes can kill you. Although they don't tend to kill people, they can. So when you think about python, the spirit of python, pythons are a genus of constricting snakes. These snakes can grow up to being 30 feet long, and they use their sharp, backward curving teeth to grasp prey, which is then killed by constriction. So essentially it says death occurs by cardiac arrest. So when I read that, and I just got chills, I thought to myself, oh my God, cardiac arrest, he is attacking our hearts. And so when we talk about God, God looks at the heart. In the Bible, it says God looks at our heart. Man sees the outward appearance. And the spirit of python, if you think about a python, how it kills, it causes cardiac arrest. And literally, when it describes how they kill their prey, it also talks about how the prey is swallowed whole, and it may take several days or weeks to digest. How long does the enemy plant lies in your head before you start to believe what you've been hearing? And to me, it's almost like literally weeks. We are the enemy's prey. And if we don't recognize that, he will try to feed on us. And it may take a long time, but he'll keep on doing it slowly and slowly and slowly until we are worn out. We are struggling with unbelief. We are weary. We are tired. We are fearful. All of these things. And then furthermore, another thing that I read, it said that in terms of the prey, the more the person tries to exhale, that's when the python can constrict tighter. So when you try to catch your breath, I don't know for any of you all, but when you try to catch your breath, it's like that's when stuff piles on even more. I can think about when I was carrying Nadia. I mean, me and my girlfriends, we had just went to LA. We went on a trip and it was a great trip. We were celebrating her marriage that was coming up. And on the way to LAX, I fall down the stairs at 5 months pregnant. So we get to the airport, my ankle starts swelling. Then my left ankle starts swelling, and then my right foot starts swelling. And by the time I have to get on the plane, I am confined to a wheelchair and I cannot walk. And I didn't feel Nadia move. Literally the whole plane ride, I did not know if she was alive. I know something was wrong with my body. I did not know what. And I was just so afraid because I didn't know what was going to happen. And literally on that plane ride, I met some really nice people. And there was a lady who stayed with me from LAX to Denver and to Washington, D.C. And she was with me the entire time. And she too had her own situation with her back. So she actually had rods in her back. So we were able to get on the plane early because I could not physically walk. But I think about even that situation where I didn't have any control. I honestly was afraid of dying. I was afraid of Nadia not being here. I was afraid for myself because I didn't know what was going to happen. When I went to the doctor, they said, you broke your big toe on your right foot and you sprained your left ankle. That could have been so much worse. But what the enemy wanted me to think about, he wanted me to go all the way to the left. Like, I didn't pass go. I wasn't trying to collect $200. I was like, okay, oh my gosh, like, what's the worst thing that can happen? And that's what came to mind. So when you think about your life, he wants to squeeze the life out of you. Every time you exhale, you think, okay, I made it past this point. Because when I was pregnant with Nadia, I was so excited. I had made it past the 12-week mark, only to fall down the stairs and be worried if she was going to be okay. And as you all know, praise God, she's okay and she's here and she's healthy. But we've had a lot of scares with her since she's been born, with breathing, with different things that have made me nervous. And I don't know if I shared it on the last show, but a few weeks ago, when Nadia was asleep, this was after the pastor had talked to me about the tormented spirits and to pray against spirits. And the Bible tells us that we don't war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spirits. And I woke up in the middle of the night and I looked at Nadia's face, and it looked like the right side of her face was flashing. So, and it freaked me out a little bit, because when you think about Halloween, it looked like her face was a skeleton on her right side, and she was facing me in the bed. And I blinked a couple of times, am I really seeing what I think I'm seeing? And then all of a sudden I had this peace that came over me, and it was like, thank you, God, for showing me where she's sick. Literally, I know that was not me, because I honestly was scared at first. And then I had that peace. I literally touched Nadia's face. I prayed over her and I went back to sleep. The next day I woke up, because I knew she had an ear infection, but I didn't know which ear. So I woke up and I said, Rodney, what side does Nadia have an ear infection on? He said her right side. I didn't tell him anything else. I just said, okay. So when we went to the doctor the following week, we went in on a Thursday. That was actually the day before I found out, around the time I was still going through the miscarriage when I took her to the doctor. So it was before I found out that my miscarriage was over. And the pastor had told me, because of the spirit, she was like, you have to pray. You have to stay. You pretty much have to put on your armor and know your word so you can fight against the enemy when he's trying to attack you, because he will attack you. Because once you know what's attacking you and you start to come against it, it gets a little more heavier. And sometimes the enemy tries to attack you more in your mind, physically, but here's the thing. He has to have permission, and God knows the end before the beginning. So even if he has permission, God has already made a way of escape for each and every one of us, but it's recognizing what that way of escape is. And when I took Nadia to the doctor, the physician said to me, did you all take her to the ear, nose, and throat doctor because she's had so many ear infections? And I said, because Rodney took her before. And I said, no, I thought that was like optional. But he said, you mentioned it, but you all didn't say that she needed to necessarily go. So we never took her. When he checked her ears, her ear infection was gone. I know that is nothing but the Lord, because I remember that night when I woke up in the middle of the night and I prayed for her. And I was a little nervous to tell people because I thought to myself, this sounds a little crazy and it might sound weird. But that's literally what I saw in the middle of the night. And I had the peace of God that told me that it was the reason I was seeing what I was seeing was so I could pray for her. And I did. And when we went back to the doctor, she did not have an ear infection. It had cleared up on its own. And the reason that appointment was so important was because she may have needed tubes because she's had so many recurring ear infections in a certain period of time. So I say all that to say that we do war against spiritual beings. But God also has angels around us who are watching over us, who are there to protect us. So it's not for us to be afraid, because the Bible tells us who we're warring against, but recognizing his tricks and recognizing who he is. I'm going to read what Tammy wrote on Facebook. She said, you were created by the Most High, designed for such a time as this. He knows your name. He knows the number of hairs on your head. We are greatness and daughters of the son of the king, which is so true. We are. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows everything about each and every one of us, and he loves us. So when we think about that spirit, and one other thing that I noted about pythons, they can't go more than 1 mile per hour. But it's amazing because they don't stop eating. As slow as they are, but they're very careful. They take their time. And in a USA Today report, there was a python that did kill an Indonesian farmer a few years ago. And it noted that a startled snake could bite as a form of defense. Satan is biting us as a form of defense because he knows that his time is short. And the Bible says that in Revelation, it talks about his time being short. And so he's able to wreak havoc before a period, because in Revelation 20, it says, he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. His time is near. So Satan will wait for you patiently. He will wait, and he'll be patient, and he'll just wait and wait and wait and strike when we get weak, or when we get weary, or maybe when we're holding on to unforgiveness, or maybe when we decide not to read our word, or maybe when we decide that we're going to do things our way, and when we decide we're going to be in control. And then it notes that the python stealthily lies in wait along a game trail, edges of waterways, or any other place where they would find unsuspecting prey. The main thing I took away from that is unsuspecting. But as believers, we should suspect that he's going to do what he can to keep us from fulfilling our purpose, to separate us from the love of Christ. So in Psalm 58, it talks about, even from birth, the wicked go astray, from the womb that we were spreading lies. Their venom is like the venom of a snake, like that of a cobra that has stopped its ears, that will not heed the tune of the charmer, however skillful the enchanter may be. And then there's other scriptures that talk specifically about serpents and snakes. Luke 10 talks about, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Again, Luke 10, verses 19 and 20. I have given you, each one of you, authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. And even when Jesus was, when he was going to the cross, that wasn't his cross to bear. He was bearing the cross for us, but he knew that God had given him authority and that his pain on the earth was temporary in comparison to the glory that awaited him when he was resurrected. And as we all know, on the third day he rose, because he knew that he had more power. So he has overcome the enemy. And that same power, through the blood of Jesus Christ, he has given us power as well through him, that nothing will harm us. Now it does note, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So the spiritual warfare that we're in is not about us. So don't be excited that the spirits will submit, but rejoice that our names are written in heaven. There was another scripture that I had written down. I'm going to scroll back up. Let me see. Because there was so much stuff that I was reading, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like I didn't even realize how deep it was. But when we think about the things that we go through, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so true. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, it reads, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So one of the main things I want to leave you all with is, no matter what you're going through, the enemy wants to keep you from Christ. The further away we go, because we don't understand why we're going through what we're going through, the harder it is for us to have faith and to believe. The easier it is for us to be weary, to be fearful, to worry, to doubt. And I'm speaking from personal experience. I still struggle. And it's a battle that I'm going through right now. But I was like, you know what? Instead of pretending I'm not going through a battle, I'm going to share my battle. And in sharing my battle, I feel like my faith is being built and I'm getting stronger. And that is my prayer for each and every one of you. And for anyone just in general who is struggling with this spirit of Python, whose mission is to keep us bound, whose mission is to tell us lies, because Satan knows the word and he gives us little bits of the truth. What he told Eve in the garden, it wasn't a lie. He was telling the truth, partially. She says that I can't eat it because I will die. He says, you will not certainly die. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open. And that's true, her eyes will be open. But he was trying to trick her because he wanted her to do what he wanted to do, because he was crafty and doing what he does best, trying to trick her into losing the promise that God had given, that he had pretty much set aside for them for that life. And so we're all in the situation that we all are in now. We are all sinners because of that time and because of that decision. However, because of Jesus dying on the cross, we shall live and not die. And then when you think about Acts 16 with the Spirit, Paul and Silas, once they cast the evil spirit out of the woman, it says, when her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They were also flogged, stripped, and beaten with rods and thrown into prison. Because that's how he works. He tries to intimidate us because he's like, okay, you've now taken away the little bit of power that I have to control you, the power that I have to keep you from pursuing your purpose, or to keep you from reaching the people that God has put in your life to reach, to keep you and your families divided. So he uses all those tricks, because at the end of the day, he's benefiting when we are hurting. So I hope and pray that each and every one of you will take some time out and just like really take a step back and evaluate and reassess some things. And I've been personally doing this just because I know what I've been struggling with and also what I'm up against. But knowing what I'm up against, I can fight it. It's almost like an addiction. Once you admit you have an addiction, you can seek help. But if you don't admit you have an addiction, you won't seek help because you don't think you need it. So for me, I realized that I needed help. I was talking to a friend and we were talking about just all of the things that I've gone through in my life. And it's been, to some people, it's like, oh, you know what? I've been through worse. And look, I'm not trying to compete on who's been through worse things. All I know is we've all gone through our challenges and God has a way of making them work together for our good. But we were talking about post-traumatic stress. And I remember that week thinking, I really hope that that's not what I'm dealing with, but I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't, because of various things I've been through, whether that's car accidents, multiple, the tornado in 93. I was afraid of the wind for a long time, but I'm glad I got set free from that. The fear of death, like it's so many things that I have allowed myself to be bound by, and I want to be set free. And I also hope that you all can be set free, anyone that may be struggling with similar thoughts or weariness, depression, whatever it is. And no, you can probably tell I like to talk. So please feel free to reach out. I would love to chat and pray with you or whatever, because we need each other. I'm so grateful for, you know, my girlfriends, like being there for me. Like I've been going through it and they've been there like to help me along the way and just send me a message periodically to say like, how are you really doing? Like, are you okay? So the one thing I'll leave you with is also in Acts 16, verses 25 through 26. Here is our way of escape, people. About midnight, Paul and Silas. So we know that they freed the woman from that evil spirit, the spirit of Python that we've been talking about, or the spirit of divination. They were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. And they ended up essentially being let go after this, or being free after this earthquake, after they praised God and they sung hymns to him, because that's where they knew where their help came from. So my reminder to each and every one of you is, how do you remember where your help comes from? So whatever that is, I know sometimes I'll get in here and I like to dance. So I dance to all types of music, But I, like, there are times I'll get in here and I have my praise and worship on, my Christian rap, whatever it is, and like just start singing. And sometimes I make up songs. So the last show I talked about my miscarriage. So funny thing about that is the very first time I took the first set of miscarriage pills. So for anyone who didn't get to hear the first podcast, it is available at ccamerica.podbean.com, the audio. But when I went through my miscarriage, so I had a DNC on February 17th and it didn't work. And that was the surgery that was supposed to clear everything out. It didn't work. And that weekend, they gave me 3 miscarriage pills, Cytotec. And I remember my mom was here and I was laying on the floor and I started cramping. And but I hadn't started passing any tissue yet. And I went in the shower and I was taking my shower. I was in the shower for like 30 minutes because I was just in there a long time and it was comfortable. And I started singing. Now, I sung a made up hymn. I was just singing to God and I was just singing. And literally, once I got out of the shower, I started to pass tissue. And I was like, oh my gosh, I should have been singing hymns and praising God the whole time. Now, here's the thing. I still didn't finish my miscarriage for a little while, but I think that was probably his reminder to me, like, I got you. And even though what you're about to walk through will be scary, because after that date, I had several sonograms and there was still tissue left. And I still ended up taking 10 more pills to pass the rest of the tissue and they didn't work. But now I think back to it, he was reminding me then that he had me and that everything was going to work out okay. Even though I didn't know what the end looked like, I had to hope that I would be able to see the end on this side. But one thing I'll say is, even if we don't see it on this side, sorry, don't get emotional. One thing that I've always been afraid of is dying. And sometimes God frees us through death. And everything we're seeing now with people all over the world, you know, people are dying, people are hurting. And it's so evident. And sometimes we say, God, you know, I want them to be here selfishly. But I remember my great grandmother used to always tell me, she was like, you know, like, baby, like, we didn't come here to stay. Like, we do have to go one day. And Rodney said to me one day, he was like, well, if you believe in God and you want to go to heaven, how can you go to heaven if you don't die? Based on what the scripture says in terms of like heaven and earth and where we are now. And I was like, that's true. So that fear that I've had, and I still have to a degree, I am trying to allow God to work that out and show me that whether we are alive on this earth or whether when we transition over, either way, our physical death here does not define our eternal life or death. So on this Resurrection Sunday, sorry, I got really emotional. On this Resurrection Sunday, may we be reminded that Jesus conquered the grave. He conquered death. For each and every one of us, continue to believe, continue to have faith. If anyone wants me to send you the long list of scriptures I've gone through tonight, let me know. You can send me a direct message and I'll send you my notes. But I just wanted to share a message of hope and transformation and also let you all know that you are not alone. For anyone that's feeling weary, anyone that is scared, especially with COVID-19, like, we have to speak the word over this situation because Jesus overcame death in the grave, but he also says that we will be able to trample on the lion's head, on the serpent. We have power over a lot of things that we don't exercise. And I think some of that is because we may not believe we have that power. And I've struggled with that too. Again, at the very beginning of this, I said, before I did this show, I literally was in the bathroom. And a thought came to mind, who do you think you are? Like, you gonna go tell somebody about blah, blah, blah? But technically, the question is not a bad question. It's what I do with the question. And I was listening to Joel Osteen yesterday, and he talked about how the thoughts will pop in our head. He can give us the thought, but it's what we do with the thought. Are we gonna dwell on it? Are we gonna speak the word? Or are we gonna speak defeat? So I encourage each and every one of you to speak life. Tammy always says that. Tammy Gator's on the line. And her and Rodney, they both do a show on butterfly evolution. They actually encouraged me to move forward with this. This has been a dream of mine for a while, and I'm grateful for them for encouraging me, you know, and their show is fantastic. Again, it's Butterfly Evolution on Blog Talk Radio, they always talk about transformation and really like our thoughts and our mindset. So you can go back and listen to those shows as well. And really quickly, before I wrap up, I do see some notes. And I just thank God for each and every one of you for joining. One note on Facebook for those who are on Instagram says, girl, I literally just called on a friend to pray for me before seeing you here. Now I see you and you speaking like this has really made my day. Love you. I love you too, Cousin Francine. And she said, I'm sorry for what you went through. Let the tears flow. I was just told that because I have been so full all day. And it's so true. So Tammy yesterday posted about being grateful and I was bawling. I sent her a text. I was grateful, but I was also crying so hard because I was like, it was weird. And I don't know, you all may be going through this too with all the news and stuff you see about people losing their lives and families losing more than one person at one time. It's just a lot. Funerals and people not even being able to go to the funeral. So I understand, Francine, about being full. Know that that I love and appreciate you all too. And like that feeling of fullness, I do believe that God has given us a special level of compassion. And I used to think that it was almost like a curse because I literally feel what everyone else feels. Even if it's not me going through it, like literally I can watch the news and hear someone's story and I'm like, I'm overtaken by emotions and feelings. So it's actually probably a blessing that you are able to feel the way that you do. But one thing that that someone told me before that I thought was helpful was figuring out, asking God, like how to allow you to use that gift or operate in that gift so it doesn't overtake you. Cause that feeling, like being able to feel for people and others, is to be an empath is a blessing, but I'll tell you, it's heavy. Like I will literally talk to people and then all of a sudden I will feel like weighed down. But in my goal of trying to inspire others, if I don't, and the Bible tells us to put on our breastplate of righteousness and put on the full armor of God. And I think the reason he does that because he knows we need it. Because if we're pouring out and we don't get anything poured back in, or we are limiting the sources from which we get fed, then we will give from an empty cup. And that's something that I have to learn like over and over and over again. And there's another message here. Thanks, Quindo. Thanks, Tasha. I love each and every one of you. I'm so grateful for all of you. And then another message popped up that Tammy stated, we must begin to answer him. It is written, I am the child of the Most High. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. This is what Jesus did. Remember what is written, great people. Amen to that. And then on Instagram, thanks, Amber. Amber said, thank you. Jennifer said, thanks. Yes, 100. and then Miron and Floria, they talked about the notes. And Stephanie, thank God for sending this message. Amen. Thank God. Because I tell you, it was something that, I mean, actually me and my good friend Amber, we were talking about it. Steph's cousin, we actually talked about this particular spirit. And I'm grateful for her because we had a whole long conversation. That was not our plan for lunch. But we ended up talking about spirits, and I was so blessed by that. And I knew that this was a topic that we needed to talk about, especially in the midst of COVID-19 with everything going on. So I just appreciate each and every one of you for joining today. I'm so grateful. Again, I will share this message. I hope that you all enjoy the rest of your Resurrection Sunday. I love you and appreciate you. And again, thanks for joining. And I will post all of the scriptures that I mentioned and the notes afterwards. But I hope you all have a wonderful evening. Be blessed. Continue to stay healthy and safe. And I would recommend, this is just something I've been doing, find the scriptures that will help feed your faith, not your fear. I have been reciting Psalm 91. I have my daily affirmations. If anyone wants me to send those to them, I can. You can just send me a direct message. I'll send them to you. It was actually a recommendation from Amber about Miracle Morning by Dave. I think his name is Hal Elrod. And his book was really powerful because he talked about how you start your day and saying affirmations, speaking faith, speaking life over yourself. And I noticed Joel Osteen, if anyone listens to him, he says his affirmations out loud every time you listen to his podcast. And a lot of people will laugh and be like, oh yeah, Joel's always positive. But I honestly think there's something to that. And Amber said, amen, and read them out loud. It is true. When I start reading my affirmations out loud and I say, I will live and not die, I'm above and not beneath, I will not live, I will not allow a spirit of unforgiveness to keep me from fulfilling God's purpose in my life. When I say that my family and my friends are blessed, when I say that we are safe and no pestilence or disease or sickness will come near our dwellings, when I say those things out loud, it gives me a whole nother level of faith. So I have literally been saying them to help me because, like I said, I have struggled with a lot of feelings. I've even asked my mom, like, you know, when did I start worrying so much and why do I worry so much? Because I've been literally trying to figure out why I do what I do. So I do encourage you all to write out your daily affirmations and recite scriptures that will help build your faith during this time. Again, love you all. Have a good night. Stay safe, stay healthy. And I will go back and check the messages so I can follow up with you all for anyone that posted to send me the messages. But if not, just send me a direct message and I can forward you the daily affirmations and I'll post all the scriptures as well. Mwah!
Thank you for tuning in to another live taping of the Confidence Restored podcast by CC America. We are grateful that you tune in week after week and join us for testimonies of faith, inspiration, and transformation. Please be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe, and let others know that you are listening to the Confidence Restored podcast. You can also now buy us a coffee to show appreciation at buymeacoffee.com/CC America. Until next time, be blessed.